Today we have a teacher. We have to surprise you. who is? I will introduce you him later. We invite him down. So we arrange the sangha and sing a few sermons. Who are more there of us? And I will be a translator today. But also I will take part of the teaching also. Yeah, today we have a teacher who is came from Vietnam. When we brought this place, and when the Buddha just arrived, and he came also. So 2 years ago he came, and this time he also he had some other teachings in the United States. So he stopped by a few days. So I would like to ask him to share some teaching and experience in the practice with us. I think because every teacher, they have their own experience, their own insights, and so offer to us. So if we can learn from different teachers, and I think it would be strengthen and help us on our path of the spiritual practice. So I will go up to the stair and invite him down. So when he come down, please stand up and join our palms. That is the way of paying respects and welcome the teacher. So just join our palm. I will invite him down to share with us today. So I think it should be a pleasant and a joy for us. So I will go up and invite him. So please, the sangha, please stand up and I will and prepare yourself so I can invite him down. Xin cung thân ông an toàn. So please have a seat, please. Dạ, kính bạch ông, để bắt đầu chúng con xin được thỉnh ba tiếng chuông để thay vì niệm Phật, để mình để chúng ta bắt đầu cái buổi pháp thoại. So to begin our Dharma sharing, I would like to invite three sound bells so that we can relax and go back and re-establish ourselves. And normally in the tradition, we recite the Sakyamuni Buddha, the Buddha name three times to invite him in with us. But in the Prambalist tradition, we invite three sound bells, which means the calling and the invitation of the Buddha to be with us. So that's what it means. So establish yourself and comfortable and relax. While I invite three sound bells, take a deep breath. Kính bạch ông, cho con xin giới thiệu một vài lời để đại chúng cùng thăm hỏi ông cũng như cùng được biết ông. So I would like to introduce a master a little bit for you so that you know him and familiarize yourself with the teacher. The master name is Thich, is Sakya, Thiền Tấn. Thích Thiền Tấn, so I write it down for you. Hòa Thượng, Most Venerable Thích Thiền Tấn. And I have known the master for many years in Vietnam. And he practiced the temple near to my village. And most of my village are going to take the prize trainings or the five precepts with him. And he have a lot of members in the United States. And so he came here to visit us when we established this monastery, as I say before. And this is his time also to have one of his members invite him over to the United States to do some teachings and some other things in the United States. So we are very lucky to have him here today with us. his presence. And he has a temple, a monastery is very big in Quan Tri, near the central. If Matt, he go travel in soon, so he can go there, a very big temple, and he have 20 monks practice under him. I know him for a long time, and he's very, I have learned a lot from him also. And he has been in prisons, communist prison, for 17 years. Yeah, ông như là bị tù 17 năm phải bắt ông. Yeah, so he had been in prison, and after his release, and they tried to separate him from the central government or the central village, so that he cannot involve with the Buddhist monk. So they sent him back to the very remote, very small village, which he was there. He lived there. He was born there. So they sent him back to his village, which is very what they call Quan Tri, near close to Hue. So if you have a chance to visit Vietnam, you can go to visit his temple. And it's recently built. And he traveled to teach in the United States, and many donations, and then he bring that donations back and build the temple, and receive student. And last night I saw his video. We have like 10,000 people come for a festival, Avalokiteshvara festival. About 10,000 people come, very huge, and it's very nice. So today we would like to ask him and to offer us some teachings and share some experience. Kính bạch ông, thì chúng con tất cả những người Phật tử Tây phương trong cái đạo tràng tu học hàng tháng của tụi con, hôm nay có nhân duyên được ông được đi Phật sự ở tỉnh Đức Mỹ. Ông đã thương chúng con ghé về thăm. Thì Phật tử người Tây phương cũng rất là khao khát được học hỏi, được thực tập trong giáo lý Phật Đà. Cho nên chúng con kính mong ông hôm nay chia sẻ cho chúng con với những người Phật tử Tây Phương một số những lời chỉ dạy giáo pháp cũng như kinh nghiệm tu học để cho những người Phật tử Tây Phương cũng được hấp thụ giáo lý Phật Đà, cũng được chuyển hóa khổ đau trên con đường tu học. Họ là những người rất là khao khát thực tập cũng như khao khát học hỏi. Chắc có lẽ chúng con mời ông chị giáo chị dạy trước, rồi sau đó chúng con có một vài, rồi con dạy con cái gì thì thêm con thêm con dạy sau. Dạ, bây giờ con kính ôn có một vài lời để chào mừng họ cũng như là để chia sẻ với họ. So I would like to ask him to do the teaching and then I will do the translation. So he just say Amitabha Buddha is the Pure Land Buddha. So to welcome all of you. So first of all, I would like to say, express my welcome and my best wish to all of you who are attending the Day of Mindfulness today. So on the occasions of visit United States, and also visit many Buddhists, many Vietnamese Buddhists who dwell in all over the United States. So my trip here to also to visit the monasteries, and in these occasions I have a chance to share with you some of the Buddhist teachings in this day of mindfulness. Dear friends, as you know that when the Buddha who was not ordained yet, he not a Buddha yet, he also had a parent. He lived in a palace with all the material surrounding him as a prince. After he deeply understand life as a suffering, so he renounced all the materials in the palace to search for a path so that he can find the path to liberate himself and liberate others. He deeply understand that all sentient beings have the capacities of awakening and have the capacities of to become a Buddha. in China, the Chinese people promote Confucius as a saint. Confucius, before he able to find the path, he also proclaimed that all sentient beings have the basic goodness. The Buddha teaches that there is very thin wall between the awakened one and the samsara's being. For example, is the essence of the water is liquid, and the nature of the water is clear and pure. So, for example, I can have a glass of water, and in that glass of water, I can drop in a drop of dirt. The nature of clarities and the nature of purities become polluted. That polluted glass of water is represented for the samsara being. Because of disturbance, because of ignorance, because of hatred, because of violence, that's why we are, that's why samsara, that's why we call samsara ascendant being. Can we make turn that class, polluted class of water into a clear and a purity class of water? Can we do that? So for sure, we can turn the polluted class of water into a pure and clear class of water by the method of let it sit down and let it sit for a while and let it sit still. Agitations or disturbance is a mundane human being. But calmness, stillness is the Buddha or is the awakened one. The Buddha teaches that because as a mundane human being, because we are greed, we are hatred, we are anger, all of this makes us a mundane human being. As a human, we have 10 basic afflictions. First five is a greedy, I'm saying anger, egoistic, doubt, tham sân si mạng nghi con chỉ nó. Okay, the first five is we call đồn sự, that means ignorance. These five basic afflictions is already in you when your mom, between the when the time of conception between your mom and dad is already there. In order to transform these five afflictive emotions, we have to practice, we have to experience, and in order to transform that five afflictive. The second five is thinking. Thinking means the wrong perception of this body. Thinking, you know? Being kiến, that means perceptions, perceiving things on one side. Being kiến, you know? And then you grasp on that view, and then the wrong wrong views, and then grasp on the precepts, the trainings. These five, because of the is influenced by the external environment. For example, we go to school, we go society into the environment. And this is, can be transformed. These five can be workable, can be transformable. If we practice these five, this 10 affliction is in our human being through three poisons, through our speech, through our physical, and through our mind. These three make us create or make us suffering if we don't know how to practice these three, through our speech, through our physical, and through our intentions. So for our physical, we have created three illness. Because of this, try to make this body healthy. We have to be. We have been a lot of killing. We have done a lot of killing through our eating, for example, our consumptions. We have violated a lot of killing. And the second thing is stealing, you know, taking possessions, materials from without permissions from other people. So in this kind of stealing, we can like stealing material, stealing some copyrights from other people who are been very creative, and we steal from them. So there's a different kind of stealing, material stealing, stealing intellectually. And then overwhelmed by the third one is for because of this physical body, we overwhelmed by desires of mostly sensual pleasures, desire, overwhelmed, or over-desired by that, then which makes us suffering. For our intentions, there is three. Three for intention is tham is greedy, sang is anger, and attachment. For greedy is like unlimitless. We can accumulate unlimitless for wealth, for fame, for sexuality and sensual pleasures. There's many other things and the realm of greedy. For anger or aggressions is because of we are so much overlooked on our physical body. If someone that hurt or someone say something that hurt our physical body, we because of the ego, and then we try to attack or aggressive. For ignorance, because we have been in ignorance or in darkness for many lifetime, so that we're not able to perceive the teachings, the transformations. For speech, we have four. In front of that people, you say good, but in the back of that people, you say you try to put them down, and sometimes you see, but you didn't say you didn't see it, or sometimes you don't see and you say you see it. And then there is double speech and like exaggerations. So for the third one is you try to speak very beautiful language, but try to deceive other people by beautiful language. The fourth one is you use beautiful language to deceive other people by try to promote them and try to and so that you manipulate the language and to your own benefit. So because of that three, body, speech, and mind, and if we don't practice in awareness, then we are wandering in different realms, and we've been drowned in sufferings. That is the difference between the Buddha and the mundane human being. Between the Buddha is aware of those things, and sometimes and mundane and human being don't aware of those things. That's the difference. That's very thin line difference. In conclude, if you're able to transform afflictive emotions, afflictive words, then you'll be a Buddha. But if we are not able to transform those, then you are mundane or samsaric sentient beings. For the suffering or the painful of the sentient beings, there is four that is nobody can escape from that, or nobody can run away from that. These four. So the first one is the suffering of suffering. The Buddha teaches that in this life there is unlimited suffering. That's why we call suffering of suffering. The second one is the wishes you attain, but you cannot attain it or you cannot get it. That is the second one. That is also called suffering. You want something, but you cannot get it, and which creates suffering for you. So the third kind of suffering is the thing that you don't like, but you have to encounter all the time. That makes you suffering. For example, you go out with someone on the street, and that person you have been hated for a long time, but you keep meeting them on everywhere you go. So that's called suffering also. The fourth one is you separate from the loved one. If you love someone but you have to separate them, it's also suffering. That's the fourth one. The love here, like for example, like parents love the children, but they have to separate from them. So that is a suffering. So for example, if you are in a divorce and then you have to separate, either one of you have to have children. So you love your children, but then you cannot be with them. So that is all. It's a suffering. And the other example is like husband and wife, and you love each other, but you have to divorce them. You have to separate from them, and you have to divorce because there is something that you cannot live together. That is a suffering. And another example is like brother and sister, they love each other, but they have to separate also. Then it's also a suffering. So this four kind of sufferings is inescapable for everyone. The Buddha teaches us that we have to understand deeply the cause and the roots of our suffering, so that if we're able to look deeply in the cause, then there is a wave of transformations of that sufferings. So we have to really find the way or use the method to look into the root cause of the suffering, and then there should be a way to out that sufferings or transformations. We come together a day of mindfulness like this, we can help each other to transform our suffering if we come together and practice under the guidance of my help, and we can do that together as a communities or a sangha, a practice together. So the Buddha encourages us that in order to liberate ourselves from this kind of suffering, this four kind of sufferings, we have to diligently, correctly practice the teachings. The Buddha had composed a gatha, a poem of encourages to practice, and he will recite the gatha. The Buddha said that a day had passed by, and our life will be slowly shortened, just like a fish in a pond, the water slowly evaporate. So there is no happiness in that. The Buddha encouraged that all the practitioners have to be encouraged and diligently on the path. Just like fire on your hair, you have to rescue right away and put up the fire right away. So carefully not to let time fly by. The Buddha also encouraged us to look deeply in the teachings of impermanent, because our life in this world is very short. So if we waste our time without any benefit, without any looking deeply, without any transformation for yourself, without help or support your family and your communities, it is very painful and it's very regretful. So the Buddha teaches that the impermanence of your illness and your illness is and your old, the state of old and illness is not it can come at any time. It's uncertainty, so it can be last in a minute. It is like the mist on the grass. It can drop. It can fall any time. So as Buddha is also a sentient being, but he able to transform himself and be aware, awake, and become a Buddha. So therefore, we as a human being, we also have the capacity and to be like him. In this life, there is nothing difficult, but you need to make a determination, strong determinations on the path, so you can have you can able to transform all difficulties. That's why, therefore, the Buddha say that I, as a human being, have become a Buddha, and so as you will be the future awakened one. We all, you all here, will be a future awakened one or future Buddha here. If we practice diligently and make determination on the path. So the essence of the teaching of the Buddhism is wisdom and compassion. In our early life, we should follow the Buddha and practice loving kindness or compassion as the Buddha does. We have to have compassion for others. You should know how to share your love and your material, and also able to forgive each other while we're making mistakes. We can support each other on the on the path of practice. When I came to the United States, I have attended some of the Zen Master Thich Nhat Hanh. I witness and I see many of our Western practitioners and Western friends who practice Buddhism. Our friends, Western friends, come and practice and practice together. I see that this environment is very supportive and very convenient for you to study Buddhism or the teaching of transformations. The teaching of the Buddha is very profound. we have very limited in this life. We can share a little bit of the teaching of the Buddha with each other so that we can together understand the teaching of the Buddha. When I see you diligently practice meditations, practice the teaching of the Buddha, it's touched my heart. And I really encourage, it's really encouraged me and touched my heart. So even though Buddhism originally is from Asia or from India, but it's nowadays has been over everywhere. So hopefully that it will be come to different country and help to do the transformative. The last point I want to share is to emphasize is you are the only one who are able to transform your sufferings. So the Buddha teaches us that I am the teacher. Just show you the way. You have to walk on your own feet. You have to walk. I cannot walk for you. You can see that the Buddha is the teacher, show us the way. But the practice is up to us. The Buddha is like a doctor who gives you the medicines. The Buddha just gives you the prescription and you go to buy the medicines and drink that medicines. And in that medicine, the Buddha said that you stay away from a certain thing. After you practice that, you allow you follow that, and then your illness can be healed. Because through his experience and his attainment in the past, he lived with us the resolve he had attained, had experienced. So he said that it's my time right now. I say, I just would like to share a little bit of the vast teaching of the Buddha, so that can help you to. On the path, or support you on the path of the practice. Normally, when I teach in Vietnam, I have a specific topic, and normally it's 2 hours teachings. So after 2 hours teachings, there are question and answer, so it's long. So it's maybe about a lunch time, so that I just briefly share with you. I would like to express my heart feeling. You have been attentively listening to my sharings. Upon the meeting like this, it's even though short meeting, but we have been planting the seeds many lifetime in order to meet like this. Hopefully we can meet each other under the umbrella, under the Buddha's family. I would like to wish you well and lucky. chúng con xin cảm ơn. So I'll just take a few minutes to express our feeling to him. And thì chúng con cũng xin đại diện cho quý Phật tử Tây Phương thành thật đảnh lễ Ôn, cũng như là cảm ơn Ôn đã chia sẻ tất cả những cái tình thương của Ôn đến với tất cả quý Phật tử Tây Phương. Họ là những người khao khát, như con nói, được học Phật Pháp cũng như được sự tu tập và chuyển hóa. Lần nữa chúng con đại diện cho quý Phật tử Tây Phương kính chúc Ôn nhiều sức khỏe, cũng như mọi việc trong cái Phật sự của Ôn được viên thành như ý nguyện. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. So we will stand up to welcome the teacher, and he will go back to his room. And chúng con xin cung thỉnh Ôn nghỉ. So please have a seat. Okay, so I just wanted to share with you a little bit more of the teachings, just 10 minutes. So this morning we have some, you know, as the teachings, many, even though his teaching is very condensed, you know, you can see that I can elaborate on many days too, you know, through the 4, the 10 afflictive in Abhidhamma or high teachings of Abhidhamma, we can go into detail and see 5 different ways of practice that to transform that afflictive, because I think he very condensed to share with us that. And the 4 kind of sufferings, right? And I think some of you already learned, I told you. But, you know, many different teachers have different aspects of the suffering, you know, because suffering is very pervasive. It's everywhere. In our body, in our mind, in everywhere whatever we do, it is suffering, but doesn't mean that there is no transformations. Because I have to tell you, a lotus flower, a lotus pond, has the when the Buddha first enlightened, he saw sentient being is very stubborn. You know, it's hard to cheat human being. So he tried to go to Nirvana. And because he looked deeply, he said, oh, my teaching is so high, it's so profound, that if I told them, I share them the teaching, they don't listen, if they go, and then they make themselves suffering, right? So he sit in meditations, and he looked at the lotus form, and he realized, oh, yeah, sentient being is like many lotus in the pond. And he said that, oh, and then after he just had that thought, you know, just the thought arise in his mind, and many deva, many gods come and celebrate. You know, that is the Buddha. Many Buddha had done the same thing. So he looked at the lotus pond, and he see a lot of mud in the lotus pond. But he saw at the same time, he see many lotus plant. And some of the lotus plant is very small. It's about to go above the mud. But some of the lotus already go above the water, and some of the lotus is blossom already. And he said, ah, yes, I see in this here, you know, even though they are samsaric being, but because if we able to do them, because in that samsarics, they have something like lotus flower. He realized that. And he started teaching the Four Noble Truths. So I think it's the same thing. What I want to share with you is, in us, we have lotus, but at the same time, we have mud. Right? Yeah, a lot of mud inside of us. So we don't throw away mud, compost, right? We have to use the compost and grow some rose. Without that compost, the rose cannot grow, right? So we have to use the compost. The Buddha see that in us. So he say, ah, I see. He realized that. He say, ah, I see. That's why he was sharing, you know, oh, sentient beings have the basics awareness, basic goodness. He realized that. And then that's why he proclaimed, he said, all sentient beings have the capacity to be realized the path. So he don't overlook them. That's basic goodness. But at the same time, they have a lot of muddy in them. So I have to work and help them transform. So I think that's inside of us. We have a lot of pain, right? We have a lot of angers, that's what he said. But at the same time, there is some basics, goodness lie beneath that. So we have to use that. We have to see that. And in Buddhism, we don't say that original sin. Nobody is original sin. It's because Buddhism, we say basic goodness is the original, not original sin, right? In other religions, they say original sin, and then you carry that with you your whole life. How can you become a Buddha? How can? Right? But here is the Buddha say, basic goodness, that's a sentient beings. Whether you are aware or not, it's there. So one day you have the opportunity. Everyone have the opportunity. And then you're able to transform, to remove that mud, that illusions. And then all that reveal to you. Right? So that's why the Buddha say that no one, everyone have the basic goodness. Everyone have the capacities to transform the suffering. Everyone, as long as you plant the seed. So because he see that many young seeds, young lotus, not grow yet in the muddy, it can be die out, but it's still there. You know, like if the weather is cold, if the water is frozen, then that young plant, young lotus, will be die. But doesn't mean that one day it's still there. The seed is still there. And one day it can be grow, and then one day, you know, the weather is warm back again, you know, the sun coming up, you know, and then the light is out. And that could be rice. So that is the basics, what he was talking about, the basics goodness. So we have that. So we work together to remove or to transplant that mud to build into the beautiful lotus flower. So in Buddhism, we use the lotus flower as symbolic of awakening. But without mud, the lotus cannot grow in air, cannot in crystal, or cannot rocks. The lotus has grow in the mud. That's where we have to work with our suffering. We have to. That murder is the suffering. It's afflictive. But without that, there is no lotus. Without that suffering, there is no awakening. So that is the basic thing we have to work with. Every one of us here, we have some kind of suffering. Different. Every one of us have different kind of suffering. But we have to work with it in different way. Not everyone the same. But there is some basic goodness is the same. The capacity of awakening is the same. You might like different rice or might like different spaghetti or some different kind. But the basic is the like. You like. That is the basics. So the basic here is the quality of awakening. When we realize that, we don't run away from our suffering. Without the suffering, there is no Buddha. You know that. You have to know that. The Buddha born from suffering, like the lotus, have to grow from the mud. That's the basis. That's why in Buddhism, we don't throw anything away. We have to work. We have transformed that. Nothing's to run away or nothing to be waste. But the matter is the skillful mean to work with it, to transform it. So there is nothing waste. Nothing waste in this life. Any kind of suffering, you can transform it. As long as he said, you have the determinations, you have the path, you have the encouragement, you have the bravery to work with that. So when you in your meditations, there is some afflictive calm, you don't run away, or you don't dwell in that, but just take a look, you know, experiment, you know, hypothesize that, work with that. That's where you get the insights. After you get that, you got very strong. For example, after you overcome, you go through something that's very rough in your life, and you become very strong, right? Just the same thing. You look, when I go into the mountain, I see some pine that grow on the rocks, but they're very firm. They're very firm because they form that kind of challenge. The tree become root, strong. The same thing in life. Everyone of us have some kind of challenge in our life. Nobody. Even the Buddha, you know, like when he become Buddha, many people, different other religions try to put him down and try to cross him. But he says, it's okay, you know, it's making me stronger. And he never get angry with those people. And he turn around and transform those people. It's the same thing. We turn around and transform our suffering. That's what we do with our own thing. So today after his sharing, I just want to share with you some of the things that I thought. So for example, this morning we walk in meditations. So sometimes we walk on the earth and we step on a stone or thorns, right? And maybe your feet get hurt, right? But you know how to you gently remove that thorns, you know? You're not angry with the thorns. You say, oh, why are you, you know, be my obstacle, you know, on my path, right? Many of us blame that, you know? You crazy thorns, you know, on my path. And sometimes it's the same thing. Sometimes your wife or your husband say, you are my obstacle. Or sometimes you say it to your children, right? Say, you are my obstacle. But you don't know that. They are there to challenge you, you know, to make you stronger, to make you a better mom, to make you a better wife. Yeah. And if you realize that, you look at the aspects and everything's okay, right? In your life. Nothing's become you an obstacle. You turn all obstacles become your friend. Your elements of practice, right? But you have to look in that perspective. Otherwise, we as a human being, we always try to get easy out, you know, easy way. We don't want something that is very difficult, right? And we don't want to make a lot of effort, you know. But I have to make some efforts to transform, not just easy. Because things easy come, what is that? Easy go, right? Yeah, easy come, easy go, you know. Like the Buddha, he practiced many lifetimes in order to we for him to we bow him. We don't bow to him, but we bow to the virtue of him, the virtue, the ethics. That's what we bow into. We're not to bow to a bronze or a stone or something like that. No, we bow to him because we know that we have that kind of quality. So we try to reawaken that quality in us. We're not bow to the Buddha like that, you know. So don't misunderstand that. So the same thing here. When we practice, we have to very smart in our practice. Otherwise, everything can. If we don't smart, everything become an obstacle. You know that. And even on the path, you know, is the rocks or the boulder on your path. You don't. If you cannot break the rock, you have to go on the side, right? You don't say or go there and you say crazy rocks, right? You have to. You know, you are smart. If you able, you have. If you are very strong, you have very skillful. You can break the rock and walk through, right? But if you are not strong enough, you walk on the side, right? Then you don't spend much effort. So how strong you are is depend how smart you are. So things not become your obstacle. So everything is to work around with it, you know. So our suffering is not something to run away with. So today I just want to share with you my thoughts of the day, and some of the teaching of the master. So thank you very much for your listening.